It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I watched one the other day where it's like, Nick Cage is a big game hunter. He's on a container ship for some reason with all these scientists. And there's also these terrorists. And there's also an escaped jaguar somewhere on the container ship. And it's just like... Perfect. It's the dumbest shit. It's just, you could see it, just like, you know, a bunch of note cards and some darts, and just like, okay, Nicolas Cage,
yep,
Jaguar, container ship. That's great. Home run.
That's awesome. Welcome to the Stochastic No House Advantage NBA show for the four game Thursday night slate. I'm your host, Neil Orfield. You can find me on Twitter at PlayerQDFS. This show is produced by Mike Lawrence. You can find him on Twitter at AwesomeYo. And we are joined today by DFS legend Terry McBride, who you can find on Twitter at DigitalB21. While you're coming in, please do like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and hit that notification button so you can get alerts when our shows go live. Terry, it's been a minute. We did so many MLB shows early in the season last year, and now we didn't do any really the second half. We haven't really done any shows together since. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel like I see you all the time on all the shows that you do lately, and
likewise,
a lot of the Showdown shows and everything. But yeah, we haven't connected on a show and quite a while.
I loved those.
Oh, cool. That'll be a fun one. You know,
hopefully in the MLB season we'll be back together, because I really enjoyed doing those shows, hosting with you as the analyst. That was a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's a good combo, and I'm psyched to talk through some NHA NBA stuff here.
Me too.
And for everybody out there that you just mentioned, follow my Twitter. My Twitter's like the old abandoned house at the end of the block that the kids are scared of. Like, don't follow my Twitter. There's so many better followers out there, like Neil and people who actually participate and talk. I only, like, every now and then I see somebody do really well, or they ask me something and I'll jump in and respond, but there's not a lot going on there. Apologies to any of my followers out there.
Some great self-promotion there by Terry. Do not follow my Twitter. I don't say anything. Okay.
This is not what I'm here for.
Yeah. Well, then you can catch Terry on shows. He does a great job on the shows. Catch him on the Stochastic channel. We are here to talk about some NHA, which does offer two types of contests. And if you want to play versus the house, you can do that. There's the versus the house contest. You pick up to 5 picks, and if you hit all of them, you can net up to 20x your entry fee in the versus the house contest. But we're primarily going to be talking about the pick'em contest here. NHA is offering a few different pick'em contests tonight, and they're doing us a favor. They're intentionally creating contests that are likely to have a little bit of overlay. This is a rare opportunity in the DFS space, not something that'll last forever, so I would recommend taking advantage of it while you can. We have three different pick'em contest options today at NHA. The biggest is the $10 buy-in slam dunk contest. The contest allows for up to 1,200 entries, but the prize pool is guaranteed. So if it doesn't fill up all the way, they're still going to pay out the prizes the way they're listed. The top prize for this contest is $5,000. The next contest is the $5 buy-in finger roll contest. This one can have up to 480 entries with 1,000 up top. And then finally, we have a triple up contest, a jump shot. It's a $10 buy-in with 36 entries, and the top 10 will turn $10 into $30. If you're not familiar with NHA, hopefully you're familiar with the NHA Pick'em contest by now. It's a pretty simple contest. They post a bunch of static prop lines for different players. You choose 10 of those lines. You rank them in order of your confidence, because your top pick gets 10 points if you get it right. Second pick gets 9 points, et cetera, et cetera. Your lowest pick will get you 1 point if you get it right. And then you're competing against the entire field. Whoever has the most points wins the contest. If you're not sure who to pick in these contests, we've got you covered. Terry will tell you exactly who you should be picking, some of his favorite picks from each game. We'll go game by game here, starting with the Warriors, who are 6.5 dogs at the Celtics. It's a 237.5 total in the game. The biggest injury concern we have here is a questionable tag on Jaylen Brown. Terry, let's start with some unders. Do you have any unders picked out that you like in this Warriors-Celtics game?
So let's flip over that way. It actually looks like this one is a more fun starting point because it looks like there's stronger overs in this.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
We've got a handful of 80%ers in the overs. And honestly, on the unders, the highest one is just a 74.5%, which when we're talking about props in general, obviously 74.5%, if somebody offered you that as a prop bet at a sports book, you'd jump on it immediately. But on these know-how contests, they leave these broad 90%+ probability picks. And it works kind of like salary. We talk about it on this show all the time, where these are your value plays. These are your star plays, however you want to look at it, you know, is to make an analogy to DFS. And then we do need to work with some of these 75%ers like this Jordan Poole on the rebounds on the under, excuse me, but it is a little bit thin compared to some of the other ones we've got. It's the lines at 3.5. We've got them projected for a little over 2.5. And that's right around what he averages per game. And it's, you know, we think of Jordan Poole and it's not rebounding is not what he's out there to do, right? 4.1% rebounding rate. But when we're within a rebound, it's just a situation where he could stumble into it one way or the other. So if I'm using it, it's a lower confidence one. It's one I'm going to rank down card. But I do think it's certainly there to use in that kind of a way. Everything below that, you know, you've got Jaylen Brown who may not go on the assists at 72%, Marcus Smart on rebounds at 71. Everything else is kind of meh, nothing to love on the unders. There's a few meatier overs in this one.
Okay. Yeah. See, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about the unders and the overs for each game, but you made a very good point there that you don't need to force it in from each game. You can choose multiple for one game. And in this game, we just don't have any really strong unders. And as you said, we've got some that are, you know, 90% plus likelihood of hitting. So you don't really need to go to these 75%. If you're going to the Warriors game, you're going to be watching the Warriors Celtics game tonight. Have at it, make yourself some picks that are maybe not quite as likely, but more fun for you. But in general, you don't really necessarily need to get down to these 75% likelihood picks. And you said on the other side, we do have some overs that look pretty tempting in this Warriors-Celtics game. Any of those in particular that you're interested in tonight?
Yeah, for sure. The top one, if we're just looking at this game, the top one on the board is actually the second highest one overall on the slate on the overs. And that's Marcus Smart on the assists. And just looking at the full board, there are a handful of assist props, and then there's a handful of three-point props at the top of the board, all of which are sitting there looking really juicy because they're under what the player just averages. Or like with one that we'll talk about in a little bit, like the situation is just going to thrust this guy into more work. So I think Marcus Smart, I think it just sits there the line's at 5.5. So we're talking about basically two assists below what Marcus Smart is averaging for the season. 32.8 minutes a game. He's putting up 7.3 assists. We only need him to get 5.5. We've got him projected to play 34 minutes, thinking with Jaylen Brown, you know, potentially dinged up, not playing, or even if he does play, maybe they short shift him on a rotation or something, and Smart picks up a couple additional minutes. So we're projecting him to go well beyond that 5.5 average. I like it quite a bit. His per 36 number is 8.1 assists. So we're not quite projecting him for 36 minutes, but if we're thinking between when he normally plays at 32, 33 and the 34 and change we're giving him, you know, we're talking about 7 to 8 assists there. So I like that one quite a bit. And then if we're thinking about a Golden State versus Boston game, we can immediately get into some fun props looking at the three-pointer props. And there's Clay, Jason Tatum, Steph Curry, and Andrew Wiggins all sitting there four in a row, 86%, 83%, 82%, 81%, or 83, 82 at the bottom there. Each one of those looks plenty fine on volume. You're talking about guys who Clay shoots 10.4 threes a game, makes 4.1, shooting about 40%. Steph, 11.6 a game, makes 4.9 a game, shooting 42%. He needs 3.5. Clay needed 2.5. On the other side, Jason Tatum needs 2.5. He's taking 9.4 a game, making 3.3 a game, 35.2%. In the group, he's the worst shooter at 35.2%, but you're basically there on volume. He only needs to get you 2.5, and he's averaging above that. So I like any one of those. You'll like the nature of the contest to probably turn into a situation where these guys are chucking up threes and trying to shoot the lights out. So I really like any one of those three-pointers, or you can put multiple ones on a card and, you know, kind of ride the correlation of just a high-scoring shootout game.
Yeah, and as we said, a 237.5 total in this game, relatively high scoring, should be a fast-paced game. So yeah, plenty of good over props there. Sometimes I find it hard to do the analysis of these because it's just like, well, this is a good pick because it's so obvious. You know, a lot of these are just like, well, he averages, you know, 8 and the line is at 4. So yeah, I'm going to take the over there.
Sometimes they leave these really meaty. We see it with that, with, you know, where they're just creating one against the average for a guy in a normal situation. And then we see ones where either above or below, a guy has been in a situation or a situation just got created that the line doesn't account for the change, right? A guy just came back, a guy just exited the starting lineup, and now this guy's in a new role. So those are usually the ones that you pick off. And like you said at the top of the show, they're static lines. So they come out in the morning, and if a situation changes, they don't change that line. So you can pounce on these things. You know, just gotta watch the news, and you can find some great opportunities and use our tools over at the site.
Yeah, exactly.
Very apparent.
Yeah. And some of them, as I said, obvious, some of them a little bit more nuanced, but luckily either way, we can use our tools and they'll point us in the right direction in terms of likelihood of success with these. Anything else that you want to say about this game before we move on?
No, there's nothing really leaping out. I mean, you do have a few other 75% or level ones. Like if you wanted to go to a Jason Tatum raw points, is it 26.5? We've got that 75% to go over. Obviously, he's having a killer season, averaging 31-1 in his 36 minutes a game. So it's a situation where they've got to project, they've got the line set well below what he's averaged for the season. You think about going up against Golden State, you know, maybe they focus on him and, you know, pinch him down a little bit, but he's probably still pretty pretty strong out to get to that 26.5. And well, I say probably, I'm looking at the percentage, it's 75%. So it is a strong probability that he's going to get to at least that, you know, maybe doesn't reach his scoring average, but I think we're pretty clean on that one. So you could swap that one in on a card for, instead of using his three-pointer made one, you just use his raw points if you wanted to.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, Jaylen Brown is questionable in this one. And honestly, because we like so many overs, like these already look good. They're only going to look better if Jaylen Brown is out. I mean, Jason Tatum three-point prop is only going to look better. I guess Marcus Smart assists, I don't know how much it affects it one way or the other, but the lines are only going to look better if Jason Tatum is out. We're presuming that he's in, and if he's out, these are just going to look that much better. Of course, you can.
Yeah, in that token, you could watch like a Malcolm Brogdon PRA, or his, probably not his rebounds. I don't really care about his rebounds as much, but his PRA is at 19.5. Right now, we've got him projected to play 23.5 minutes, 65% to go over that PRA just as is. And that's with Jaylen Brown in. So we take Jaylen Brown out of the equation, I feel like that one will go up. I'm not looking exactly at the numbers of his production, but I know he's a guy who steps into a bigger role there. So that would be one I'd have my eye on, pending news.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, we have the Raptors. They are 3.5-point favorites here in Minnesota against my sad, pathetic Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards is questionable. Rudy Gobert is questionable. I don't even want to talk about this game, Terry. I'm just so sad about the Timberwolves. They could have been so good if they had just kept Walker Kessler, kept all their picks, kept Patrick Beverley. They were going to be such a great team this year. And
it's going to be a big
really
disaster
happy.
When that turns into the Wembanyama pick.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be such a nightmare. Oh my God. Don't even say it, Terry. All right.
You guys got enough to do with you lost to one of the worst teams to win a playoff game in football history. This,
I mean,
you got a lot to deal with.
If we had won the game though, you would have been saying the same thing. So
I would have been saying, like, thankfully, Mikey's rubbing his Eagles hat because he knows his Eagles are going to stomp the Giants this week.
Yep. That is likely.
We brought back Carlos Correa after three other teams decided not.
Yeah, we did get Carlos Correa.
So right. This one, I do think there's some meaty unders on the board. D'Lo, his PRA sitting at a 33.5. We've got him projected at 25.7. That's a lot of daylight between that line and that total. He's averaged a 26.2 in 32.5 minutes a game. We've got him projected at 31 minutes. You could, you know, argue, yeah, if you get the game where Anthony Edwards decides not to play, some of these other pieces decide not to play, he does see a bump. He would see a bump. I still think he would be projecting short of that line. You know, maybe it bumps from 25.7 to the 28-29 range and it gets a little tighter, but I think we would still have a workable play there. You know, maybe it drops into the 75% range, somewhere around there, but it seems like it would still be a workable opportunity around D'Lo because he's not going to do much beyond the 17.3, 6.2 that he's putting up per game anyway. Per 36 cents, that becomes 18.833 and 6.9. Add in, you know, a stock and 1.7 stocks for the DFS purposes, and if he gets 36 minutes, but that's not included in your PRA, so you're not getting that bump. So I like that one to stay healthy, even if we do get the situation with Edwards out. You could go to some of these other ones, like an OG Anunoby on the rebounds, on the PRA. They were talking about him I heard somebody talking about him at some point today, saying, you know, kind of a glorified 3-and-D guy, which is what he does really, really well. And that's what, you know, you want him doing out there. Ideally, you don't want him to have to take over the scoring load. But I think that's going to be reflected in a 29.5 PRA line. We've got him projected at a 23 PRA. He averages 25.4, but we've knocked his minutes down from the 36.9 that he's averaged for the season to a more realistic 33.2 for tonight. We've seen those rotations come down to a more sane level a little bit, but then looking at his most recent five games, he's still averaging 36.7. So maybe we do go consider that back to the 36.9, but it's still clear of that line. So I think it's strong, maybe a little bit more fragile than the 89% by the numbers suggests, but I think it's still a strong one to chase the PRA on OG.
Yep, definitely makes sense. And with regards to Russley, I agree with you. It's still going to look like a strong option, even if Ant is out there. But do you think I think that would probably drop it down to the level of like maybe 75% likelihood of hitting, like where you don't necessarily want to play it. It's still going to look positive, but you'll probably be able to find better bets at that point. Do you think, would you agree with that statement?
I think so. It would probably be one that I would keep in my pocket as like, you know, a differentiator pick, something where, hey, everybody's going to be going to this more popular seeming 75%er, and people will say, D'Angelo Russell, you know, no Edwards, that situation is going to give him more, and fewer people would probably go to it. So it becomes a situation where, you know, it's a little bit different on Nohouse because you have dupe scores, not necessarily dupe lineups, but dupe scores just because of the achievements being the same. But you can work in a spot where, say, you're using it as a low confidence pick and as a binary hit it, miss it. If everybody else missed that one and you hit this one, you're differentiated. You could get yourself ahead. So like trying to think through the game theory that way, I would still keep it in my pocket, but I totally agree. I do think it would knock down to probably in that 75% range, just, you know, eyeballing it.
So Terry, part of the reason that I love doing the baseball shows with you is because we both enjoy talking a little bit of strategy. So I want to talk about that piece of the strategy a little bit. Do you sometimes not pick just like the most obvious picks? Like sometimes do you go down to those 70% likelihood picks? Like, do you think that is a smart thing to do to include some of those picks just for that purpose? Because sometimes we do see, you know, duplicated scores at the top and you're, you know, it's 5,000 up top. You're not going to win a full 5,000. Maybe to try to capture a little bit more of that, that money, if you are lucky enough to win, do you think that it's a good idea to maybe, it's similar to like leaving salary on the table, right? Mm-hmm. Taking some less likely picks. So you think that's a good strategy choice?
I do. In a contest where it's difficult in some ways to differentiate, and you do see a lot of ties and chop pots up at the top, because a 10 score is worth a 10, regardless of who got you that 10, right? Whichever one of these picks you put in that 10, if it hits, if yours hit, mine hit, same 10 points, right? Doesn't matter. So it's difficult sometimes to differentiate. So in addition to the, you know, going down one more on the card and going to a 73.9 instead of the 74.1% pick, in addition to doing that, I think another really valuable thing to do should be to look for picks that are strong probability that people don't necessarily think of, like this guy in that role, you know, or a pick that's this guy disappoints all the time for DFS purposes, but for the math says it works. Yep. Something that people aren't going to be using that's going to come through for you and you can use frequently across cards to book an 8 point per card and just put it in there where other people aren't necessarily booking that with as much certainty. I think you can get away with stuff like that from a game theory perspective. This is me spitballing on like how I would play it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately in Jersey, I can't play on this site.
Oh, you can't play.
So I get to talk about it every week, multiple times, but I don't actually get to play, but I do get to think through these situations a lot. So that's kind of how I like to look at it on these shows, is you look for ones where, all right, this one's a little bit different. And Gundacker and I talk about that a lot. You know, he likes to pick off a lot situationally where, all right, this team forces guys out for threes a lot, so let's look at some 3-point props because they're willing to concede the threes a lot. So he kind of takes it from a NBA strategy level where I'm trying to look more at, all right, this is the public perception of what this guy is, and this is what the math says this prop actually is, and trying to find that lane in between those. So I do think there's, especially on a site like this, a lot more room for, I don't want to call it narrative-based thinking, but it's almost that, you know, finding those paths rather than DFS, where I'm just kind of letting the numbers build my lineups and dictate what gets played.
Yeah, I agree with you. That definitely makes a lot of sense to maybe not just take the most obvious picks all the time. All right, sticking with this game, I'm realizing this is this is my first time ever doing a half an hour show with another person. I'm like, I want to just talk forever. We got to go a little faster, I guess. let's talk about some overs from this Timberwolves game.
So flipping to the overs, we've got an 81 percenter on kind of a guy that falls into the bucket of guys that what I was just talking about a little bit. Guy I hate coming up in DFS, but get to him all the time. Always burns me if he's not going to play. If he's questionable and I take him out of the pool, he plays. If he's questionable and I leave him in the pool, he doesn't play. If I put him in my lineup, he doesn't perform. If I don't put him in my lineup, he puts up a 60 in DFS scoring. That's Mr. Kyle Anderson. He's sitting at a 3.5 on the assist line. We've got him projected to go 5. He's a 19.7% assist rate. There could be a situation where there's more work to do from a facilitation point of view. Also from a scoring point of view, you know, like we talked about with this Timberwolves team. But I do think that that one probably carries to the over there. So I think that one's usable at 81%. The rest of them, you could certainly use a Fred VanVleet rebounds at 78%. Any of the Jaden McDaniels, Scotty Barnes assists, Fred VanVleet on the threes. Actually, VanVleet on the threes at 65% starts to get a little thin. That's 2.5. He takes 8.6 a game, but only makes 2.9 a game. I think I would cut it off probably at the Scotty Barnes, that 75% on the assists. I don't know that I would go down to those 60s on this one.
Okay. Anthony Diaz asks, is S. Curry 27.5 over good? So we've got the points. We're projecting for 28.2 points today. So I guess the over, there is maybe a little bit of juice on the over on 27.5 points. That is not a no disadvantage option. That's probably for a different book that you're talking about there. But yeah, I mean, it might be
in the versus the house contest, because the house contests are tighter.
True.
So in the versus the field, that's sitting at 25.5. Which obviously that becomes a juicier opportunity. We've got him projected 28.2 real life points, going out to 64.5% probable to go over that 25.5, but you lose that edge, like you were just saying, if you go down to, if you increase the line by 2 points.
Yeah, for sure. Gigi asked it. He said, if I was gifted a membership on this channel yesterday, is it to the Stochastic website or just a membership to this channel? That is just to this channel, Gigi. I assume that it was one of those, you know, gift memberships by Jorge Giacome or somebody like that, giving away some memberships. So yeah, not too actually Stochastic. But if you look right above your comment in the chat, Mike Yocastic just posted free 5-day trial to Stochastic NBA. So you can join for 5 days using that link if you're looking for a trial membership.
There you go. And if you're looking to play on No House, all of our No House projections, all of our lineup builds, actually built lineups, optimal lineups are free on the site every day. So you can just click your way over to them for free, or you can take advantage, or do both. Take advantage of the free NBA 5 days. I think we've got a three-day NHL one going too.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great deals. And as Terry said, and it's free stuff on the site. So like, you don't even need to pay for a membership to get our No House Advantage stuff. You just go to stochastic.com. You go to the NBA dropdown. There's free NBA DFS data option. Choose the No House Advantage option. You can find all of our No House Advantage projections, optimal lineups, et cetera, right on the site. All right, let's move on. Did you have anything else you want to say about this Timberwolves Raptors game?
No, I think we can bounce out of this one. We've got a couple juicy ones from these last two games to talk about.
Yeah. And while we're throwing offers at you, we've got one at No House Advantage as well. You can take, if you haven't already signed up for No House Advantage, you can use promo code Stochastic to take advantage of our first match deposit bonus up to $100. You deposit $100 immediately. You double the money that you have to play on that site. So you'll have 200 to play and you don't have to use 100. It's up to 100. So if you want to play, put in 25, double that. You can do that as well. So use promo code Stochastic when you sign up for No House Advantage. All right. The next game, we've got Brooklyn favored by 0.5 in Phoenix. Kevin Durant is out. Chris Paul and Devin Booker both out. Not the star-studded affair we were maybe hoping for, but still some nice picks. Terry, let's start with some unders. Any that interest you?
Yeah, this one's got a pretty solid handful of unders that we can talk about here. And yeah, unfortunately, this should have been a much better game than I think it's going to be, but might be interesting for fantasy, for betting, for DFS purposes. Still some interesting looks in here. We can start up at the top. TJ Warren on the rebounds line is 5.5. We've got him projected to only go 3.4, 92.1% likely to hit the under there. And it's an 8% rebounder who we're cutting minutes, we're giving him 22.8 minutes. So actually 2 minutes beyond his 20.7 that he's averaged for the season. Last few games, he's played 24, 22, 28, 18. So it's been a little bit variable, but outside of Kevin Durant, they've got everybody. So most likely TJ Warren's going to be in that 20 to 24 minute range. And that leaves him well shy of that line. So I like that one quite a bit. By the same token, Cameron Johnson sitting at the same line, 5.5 rebounds. We've got him projected right in that same range. And the numbers are all essentially the same as what we just looked at for TJ Warren on the other side. So two easy picks on the rebounding props right there. He's sitting 91.8%. He's a 6.8% rebounder, so a lower rebounding percentage than what Warren was offering. I like both of those quite a bit. They're easy to take. You could go Cameron Johnson on the PRA. If you expect that Johnson's going to go below on the rebounding, it's kind of easy to see his PRA going under as well. That one's sitting at 91.5%, just as strong to go under. So I think we could go that route. His PRA average for the season is 18.2, and the line's 22.5. So we're 4 points, rebounds, assists shy of that. I think there's plenty of room there for a player who we're cutting a minute and change from in our projections. There's some to work with around like Nick Claxton on his PRA, on his rebounding numbers, but they get down into like the 84-83% range. So they're a little bit thinner than some of these other ones that are above them. And then some of the overs from this game and some of the other picks that we've talked about, but certainly I think they are in range there. But then you're talking about, if you're going to Nick Claxton, it's an 11.5. So it's just a big total, but it's a big total for a guy who is a good rebound. Right. And 15.2% rebounder, averaging 8.5 in 28.5 minutes. In a per 36 cents, he's averaging 11.9. We've got him projected to play out to 30.7 minutes today. So a couple extra minutes, couple extra boards. That one feels a little bit more fragile maybe than the 80 and change percent. I might knock that one down a peg in my head as I'm building out cards. So I think as my top end picks, I would probably just be looking at those TJ Warren, Cam Johnson ones.
Okay. And I'm assuming that I can't, I'm just double checking, I can't choose multiple Cam Johnson. Can I? Let's see.
No, so one pick per player per card.
Okay. That is what I had assumed it was. I was trying it out right now on NHA. all right. So those are some of our favorite unders from this Phoenix Brooklyn game. How about some overs that you like?
Yeah, nice juicy Ben Simmons assists over. This is the, I believe, highest overall over on the board at 90.6% in the for all the contests. 5.5 is the line. We've got him projected to go 7.95. And he's just a tremendous facilitator. And, you know, to 29.4% assist rate for the season, averaging 6.3 assists in the per 36 cents. It's 8.3. We're well clear of that line in just what he does in a normal situation. And then you factor in the no Kevin Durant, a little bit more for him to do out there. We know he's not a scorer, so we know he's going to be rebounding and facilitating out there. I think this one's pretty meaty. We've got him clear it by a decent margin. That would be one of my top overall picks. And then the next one down, I think, is also very strong, and it's Mikal Bridges, and it's an assists prop. So this is another one that's like, I mentioned it earlier, it's not what you think of when you think of Mikal Bridges. You don't necessarily immediately leap to assists, but it's only at 2.5. So it's a guy who averages 3.4 a game already, 13% assist rate. So for everything that he does out on the court, it's a little bit sneaky that he's got a 3 and change assist rate, assist average already. So he's already clearing that. And we've got him projected situationally to go out to about 4.5 because we've got no Paul, we've got no Booker, we've got no Landry Shamet, we've got no number of other guys on this team tonight. No Okogie, no Payne, obviously, no Jay Crowder, obviously. So there's just a number of guys out. And when you take all those guys off the floor, it's not a big jump, but his 13 and change assist rate does jump to like 16 and change. Right. So we get a little bit of a boost out of that situation. We've also seen some, mixing and matching with Dwayne Washington and what's his face? The guy who's not any good that worked his way into this rotation in the last game, the guard. Is it on my list here? He's probably not. He probably doesn't even.
Cameron Payne or
no. The kid they picked off the scrap heap. It really doesn't actually matter at all for the conversation. But I just couldn't remember his name there for whatever reason. But somebody in chat will shout it out. But I think that one leaves Mikal just sitting at a very strong number, 2.5 against a 4.41. It's 88.5% in our probabilities. Looks very juicy. And then we've got a couple of three point props. You could go to Seth Curry on just a 1.5, just on expectation. To in minutes and volume and just being an excellent three-point shooter. I don't see any real issues there. It's technically only sitting at a 69.6% because he doesn't see a ton of minutes. I think that one's a little bit stronger maybe than the numbers might suggest. And then Kyrie sitting at 2.5 line, 85.8% to go over. That one feels very juicy. Kyrie taking 8.6 a game, making 3.1, 35.6% shooter. But again, no KD. Somebody's got to score the ball a little bit more. So I think Kyrie's going to see a little bit more action there. So I like that one.
Yep, for sure. Anything else about this game that you want to talk about?
No, I think we've cleared most of them. There's some, you know, there's some usable ones in the 60s, high 60s and 70s, more on the unders side of things. But I just don't think we need to go to that level on this card.
Yep, I don't think so either. All right, guys, if you are just getting into sports betting, don't forget to check out Odd Shopper. It's got everything you need to make sure you are maximizing your profits. You can shop bets, create your own parlay using our parlay builder, find arbitrage opportunities, and of course, most importantly, you can shop bets to find the best price available for different bets across sports books. All right, our final game of the night, we've got Philly. Saben Lee.
It's killing me.
Saben Lee is on Phoenix now.
He picked up minutes the other day.
Interesting.
Beginning of last week or middle of last week, they added him to the team, and he picked up a couple minutes in garbage time, played an entire fourth quarter. Then it was, they don't like Dwayne Washington, so maybe he starts getting the minutes. And then 2-3 days ago, he got the full run, and I think Dwayne Washington was a DNP CD.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got the Saben Lee call. Yeah. I'm just starting as Kickstart says here, I'm just starting getting back into NBA, and I had totally missed that Saben Lee was in Phoenix now. That's interesting. It is good to see you. I guess Kulk start. It's not an either. It's a KLCK start. Always difficult to at him, point it up. Yeah. I'll be doing NBA Live Before Lock tomorrow night. My first Live Before Lock for NBA. So that'll be fun.
It's always an adventure. You're going to run lineups while you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
All right.
We'll see how that goes.
Always an adventure for NBA. That's the one that gets the most frantic.
I'm not going to do 150. I'm going to have some lineups, but I'm not going to do like 150. Okay. All right. We've got one more game though. Philly 2-point favorites in Portland. No big injuries in this one. We are kind of running low on time. So do you want to just lump them together? We can start with unders. Sure.
Fly through some of these. Okay. We can always trickle over a couple minutes. I don't know if we've got anything immediately behind us. Mikey can let us know. But top one overall in this game, and I believe the top overall pick on the entire board, is D'Anthony Melton on the PRA. The line's 18.5, which when you think about Melton, you know, that doesn't seem like that high a line. But looking at the numbers, he's averaging right on an 18.4 for the season in 29.2. minutes. The issue there is we're only projecting for 21.7 minutes, so that creates a big window of opportunity on this 18.5 line. They've got it set against his season-long average, and that's just not the situation he's going to be in tonight. Last five games, 24.7 minute average, but that includes one game that ticked up to 32. Looking at the other four, it's 21, 21, 23, and 18. That is what this guy's playing right now, so I think that one is very strong. 96.5% probable to go under. And then we've got a bunch in the 80s. We can talk Tobias Harris, Jeremy Grant, both on the rebound, 7.5, 5.5. We've got them projected for 5.6 and 3.96 respectively, both around 85% to miss and go under. Tobias Harris is a guy that I like to chase on PRA, and I can chase Tobias Harris failure lines. He's a guy I don't mind taking unders on, kind of like Kyle Anderson. So Tobias Harris on the PRA, 26.5, got him projected at 22. We've got him projected to play around his season long average. He averages a 25.4. So maybe it's a little more fragile than the 81% suggests. But that's like a mid card to end card, you know, a 3, a 4, somewhere around there, I think a viable pick. You could always throw James Harden into the mix, but there's nothing that really stands out on the underside. But I suspect that, the top over pick is James Harden assists. This one's been living here at the top of the board for the last couple of weeks. We talk about it a lot. The line's at 7.5. He averages 11.1 assists per game. The line's at 7.5. That's kind of all you have to say sometimes. Yeah. We've got him projected for 9.6. He's a 45.2% assist rate for the season. In a per 36 sense, it's 10.8. He's playing 37 minutes a night. So if we even slice him down to 36, we're just clearing this by leaps and bounds. So that one's probably one of the stronger over picks on the board and one of the stronger overall picks on the board. Joel Embiid on the raw points certainly can clear 27.5 in his sleep, but it's 75% by the numbers. So we start to get a little bit thinner on the raw percentages, but we do have Embiid, Dame Lillard, and Nurk all sitting on the overs for their raw points in that 75% range. So any one of those is viable as a down card type pick as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of viable options from this game. Some nice overs. Brandon Katz says, Embiid is the best play on the board. Embiid is finally in shape now, and he wants to be in the MVP conversation. That might be true. I don't know if you're talking about DFS, if he's the best DFS play, or you're talking about that maybe that points number for Embiid. But yeah, certainly a viable play. We've got some nice overs for Embiid here that you can pick on Noah's advantage.
Yeah, if you're going that route, you know, the raw points is certainly the best one. His rebounding under is actually, I didn't use it because it's another one where I just don't want to go to an under against a superstar where it's only a matter of stumbling into two extra rebounds beyond what we've got him projected. Like that's another lane that I kind of try and avoid, is just going against a guy who could go out there and do anything if he just decided to, or could accidentally pick up a couple extra rebounds just because of his size and his presence around the basket and what he does. But that one is sitting at 81% on the other side on the under. So you could go on the unders on some cards. You could go to the points over on some cards. His three-pointers prop is actually also sitting 72% probable to go over. And that's another one of those oddballs that you don't really think of Joel Embiid to go over on threes. It's only the line's at 0.5. It's at a half. He makes 1.1 a game. He takes 3.2 a game, shoots 35%. So by the numbers we're there, it's right. Essentially, you know, it's better than a coin flip by the math, but it's essentially a coin flip when we're, you know, when we're talking about a guy who makes one a game. I don't think it's off the board, but it's not one of your stronger ones. But that's definitely one you could keep in your pocket to work in as a differentiator type pick.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those good contrarian differentiator type picks if you don't want to be, you know, chopping with a bunch of people if all of the best picks work out. So yeah, it's an interesting pick for sure. Yeah, Brandon Cass says, Melton has no value, Maxey taking his shots. Yeah, I think the deal with D'Anthony Melton, from what I could tell looking at game logs, looking at the popcorn machine earlier today, is he seems to get a lot of minutes when one of the starters is out. Like, it doesn't, yeah. Like one game with Embiid out, D'Anthony Melton suddenly gets a lot, or Tobias Harris, like doesn't really matter which starter it is. He just gets a boost when the starters are out. We don't have any, I mean, he is a starter, but we don't have any other of the star starters out in this game. So
yeah, no, that's really where you see the situation creates. And like you said, it could be Embiid, then they slide Tucker into the five and they stick Melton in the lineup with Maxey and they just run it. And you know, the situations create upside for him, and he needs the minutes. He's just a player who needs to have those minutes, and, yep. And we've just taken him away from what he did for the season. So it just creates that opportunity, like we said. But if something does change, if you get a weird, you know, Maxey's out, Harden's out, Embiid's out, you know, any one of those guys, any Philly news could create a situational situation where that play just comes off the board entirely. So keep your absolutely. Eye out, but there's nothing that we're anticipating right now. No known knowns that would create that situation.
Yep, exactly. All right, well, those are our favorite picks from this night slate. If you want even more picks from the Stochastic team, you can find all of our favorite picks at stochastic.com, including actually Optimal Linus. If you want just Optimal Linus built for you, go to stochastic.com, NBA drop down, free NBA DFS data, choose the No House Advantage option.